This week, we're thrilled to bring you a powerful sermon by Pastor Danny Rivera. A close friend of Pastor Chris and a dedicated leader from Huntington Assembly of God, Pastor Danny delivers an inspiring message titled Everyday Missionaries, urging each of us to embrace our roles as ambassadors of Christ in our daily lives. He emphasizes that regardless of our past or present circumstances, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of hope and transformation for everyone. Join us as we explore how to become everyday missionaries, spreading the love and truth of Jesus in our neighborhoods, workplaces, and beyond. Get ready to be inspired and challenged to live out your faith boldly and authentically.
We are really excited this week to have a guest speaker. I want to call up Pastor Danny Rivera. He is a close friend of Pastor Chris's. Yeah, actually, give him a hand. He labors right in Huntington, just sharing the gospel, doing the work of the Lord in his church. And we are so excited to have you bring the word of God to us and just share the love of Jesus with us. Danny, come here. Give me a hug.
Thank you, Pastor.
Appreciate you. God bless you, family. It is an honor to be in your house today. As Pastor Lee mentioned, Pastor Chris and I have formed a beautiful, beautiful friendship, and I'm grateful for him. He is a man of God, who loves people, and I'm grateful for his influence and for his mentorship in my life. But there's so many of you here who I know today. Particularly the Alford family, Victoria and Harry. I get to do life with them, and they are some of my most treasured friends, and along with the Holweg family, who I love dearly with all my heart. And I just want you to know that I feel like I'm at home today. I feel like I'm at home. I feel like I'm at my church. So welcoming, so loving, and I'm grateful to be here. As Pastor Lee mentioned, I live right in beautiful Huntington Station, and I pastor a church called Huntington Assembly of God right on New York Avenue, the two big buildings right next to the Checkers. That's where we are, and we are just so excited that we can have this friendship. How many know that we are on the same team? Two different churches, but same team, right? We're on the same team, and that team is all about Jesus. Can you say amen to that? It's all about Jesus. And today I have the honor and privilege to preach the gospel to you today, and I want to start off by asking you a series of questions. Would a prostitute make a good missionary? What about a mob boss who ordered killings? Could they qualify as preachers? What about a liar or an adulterer? Would they make good followers of Jesus? What about someone who we would describe as an abject failure? Would we call them friends? Potentially on the surface, we would probably open our eyes to some of these things. Potentially on the surface, we would say, you know, I'm not too sure that they go to Bible school. Do they have the education necessary? But I want you to know that God oftentimes uses people just like this to fulfill his purpose and his plan for his people. And if you would examine Jesus' family tree, you would see a group of messed up people who were used for God's purposes and his plans. The key is this: it's not about our past, it's about what have we done with the truth that we have heard. And so today, I want to commission you today, and I want to talk to you under this theme, everyday missionaries, everyday missionaries. And so would you just raise your right hand right there where you are? Put up your one index finger just like this, just like this, just like this. And then I want you to say, who me? Who me? Right? And then who me? Who me? Me. And I want you to know that I'm not talking to the person next to you or to the right of you. I'm talking to you. Who me? Me, everyday missionaries. The Bible tells us And if you can open up your scripture, it'll be on the screens and you follow along with me. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 10, we're going to consider verses 11 through 15, and we're going to ask God's help on his blessed word. And the word says that, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Isn't that good news? For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And God's word is blessed. Can you shout amen for me?
Amen.
And so let me give you a little bit of context here. This is your first time at church. There's this man named Paul who wasn't always this good dude. He used to murder Christians, and God met him on his road, on his journey to this place called Damascus, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and that encounter with Jesus completely changed his life, and he became one of the greatest missionaries to ever walk the earth. And Romans chapter 10 is written by this man named Paul, and Paul is teaching the people on how to evangelize unbelievers. And he's talking about particularly the Jewish people. They wanted to reach the Jewish people, the Gentile people who are just simply non-Jewish people, with the message of hope and of the gospel. And he writes these words in Romans chapter 10, and his Jewish friends don't listen. And so he turns his attention to the Gentiles, and on the Gentiles he clarifies that salvation cannot be achieved through our actions. I got bad news for you today. Salvation can't be achieved by your actions. Your religious attendance doesn't save you. It cannot be achieved by those things. But only through Jesus' work on our behalf on the cross, that is why we are saved. And this message of the gospel is detailed so beautifully, so eloquently in Romans chapter 10. And he calls the church to be everyday missionaries in their neighborhoods, in their schools, and in their workplaces. And understanding this context, I want you to know that that same calling is not just for them at that moment, but for you today. As we find out this, as we journey along this walk of Christian faith, we must be reminded that you and I are everyday missionaries. Missionaries are not relegated to the people that we send to foreign countries. I need you to know that America needs Jesus, that East Northport needs Jesus, that Huntington Station needs Jesus, and who is going to meet them with the word of God? Not just the pastors, not just the deacons, but everyday missionaries just like you and I. Can you say amen?
Amen.
An airplane mechanic is a missionary. A school teacher is a missionary. A doctor is a missionary. A guidance counselor is a missionary. A school bus driver is a missionary. Today, we are being called to be everyday missionaries. And if we are going to be a church that is in the community and for the community, we must be a church of everyday missionaries. But why? Why should we be everyday missionaries? Not simply because I said so, but the Bible gives us reasons. And the first thing I want you to remember today, if you're taking notes, is this, is that we can be everyday missionaries because the gospel is the message of hope. The gospel is the message of hope. The Bible tells us in verse 11 that anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Have you ever felt shame in your life? Have you ever felt that you're so embarrassed, you know? There's a phrase we have in Spanish called trágame tierra. It's like, bury me now. Like, get me out of this shameful situation. And I remember being a young kid. I'm about fourth, fifth grade, and I got this crush on this girl. And I want to impress her. And we're walking out of school, and I'm asking the stuff like, hey, what'd you bring in for lunch tomorrow? You want to meet up at recess? And we're walking out of school, and we get to the corner, and we're talking about all these different things, and then she's going to the right, I'm going to the left, and I'm like, hey, girl, I'll see you tomorrow. And I'm walking back just like this. Hey, girl, I'll see you tomorrow. Okay, all right. And as soon as I turn around, bam, this is a true story, right into a metal pole. Right into a metal. As cool as I was, maybe I thought I was cool, but as cool as I was, man, I was shamed right then and there. I turn around and everybody's laughing, and I just, get me out of this situation. I felt so much shame. Everything was ruined in that moment, and no one wants to feel shame. No one wants to that burden on them. And many times in our life, we feel shame by the things we have done. We feel shame in the things that we know we shouldn't do, but we still do them. We feel shame in the things that we have said, or maybe in the things that we have thought. And our very choices in life potentially bring shame to our lives, and no one wants that. But today, I want you to know that if you walked in here feeling any type of shame, there is good news for you. I can't promise you won't walk into a metal pole, but I can promise this, that your choice to believe in Jesus will never put you to shame. Your choice to believe in Jesus will never put you to shame. Anyone who trusts in Jesus, though times will be difficult, we will never be put to shame. The Bible tells us that believing in Jesus makes him our firm foundation. And when I have a firm foundation, I will not be shaken. And when I cannot be shaken, I will stand on that foundation and I will not be moved. The Bible tells me in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Job, chapter 13, verse 15, though he slays me, I will hope in him. Because nothing that this earth can do, this world that's offered to me, can do to me, will ever put me to shame when I trust in Jesus. Why? Because the gospel is the message of hope. Can you say amen? This faith that we have is an assurance of this new life that will never put us to shame. And in Christ Jesus, and only in Christ Jesus, the shame of our past is canceled, and we are transformed into a new life. That very shame that you have carried, that very guilt that you have carried, God can use that very story to use it for hope for someone else. Family, we are everyday missionaries. And do me a favor, don't judge somebody on where they are in their journey. I grew up in church. I'm 42 years old. I've been 42 years in the church. Don't judge somebody when they're on their journey. You may be a little ahead of them. Don't say, hey, look at that person who's so far behind. We're all on different places in this faith journey, and we all need to know that the gospel is a message for hope for those on the journey and for those who are even on this journey. Can you say amen? So what does this mean? What does this mean? You can be an everyday missionary. Why? Because you and I, we carry the message of hope. But who is this message for? This message, the second thing I want you to know today is that this message, the gospel, is for everybody. The gospel is for everybody. Look at verse 12 and what we read. There's for no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. How often have we judged someone by the way they looked? How often have we judged someone who is different than us? How many times have we walked by thinking, man, that will never be me? And this happens even in the church. Sometimes we create walls that separate us from each other. And sometimes we create these circle of people and you can't get in because you are not like me. This is not simply a worldly problem. We have those same problems in the church. Not this church, only in my church. And the reason is that the problem is that we want everything for our comfort. But the message of hope, the message of the gospel, the message of the gospel is for everyone. And if you examine the life of Jesus, you will find him talking to the very people that potentially you and I would walk by and ignore every single day. Jesus loved those who everyone else hated. And that's what made Jesus Jesus. He loved those that everyone else hated. Here's the reality. He should have never talked to the woman on the well. First of all, in that time, she was a woman. He had no reason to encounter or have a conversation with her. Also, there were intense racial tensions between the Samaritans and the Jews. He had no business talking to this lady, but Jesus talks to her anyway. He should have never talk to the blind beggar who had nothing to offer society. He should have never talked to the tax collectors who stole from their own people. He should have never visited the houses of people viewed as non-religious or immoral. But he did. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody. It's for everybody. God calls us into a diverse community with a diverse gift, with diverse people who all call on the name of the Lord. If I were to show you my family tree, if I were to show you my history, some of you would say, well, you shouldn't be on the altar. But when people walked away from me, Jesus walked towards me with love and forgiveness, and he changed my life. We can be everyday missionaries. Why? Because the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. There is no right family to be born into. There is no distinguishing trait that rescues us. Salvation is for all who believe in who Jesus is. Family, it's for everybody. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is a theological truth and a promise embedded in this response. There is a theological truth and a promise embedded in this response. Who will be saved? Everyone who calls on Jesus. What does this mean? It does not mean those who say his name. Because everybody can say the name Jesus. You might have a friend named Jesus. It's not just saying his name. It's calling upon his name. And the Bible, the New Testament, was written in this original language of Greek. And in the Greek, this phrase, call on his name, means this. Put a name upon you. Or to be named after someone, or to call upon for help. Calling on Jesus is more than simply using words or praising him on a Sunday. Calling on Jesus is a desire to be renamed. Calling on Jesus is a desire to be transformed. Calling on Jesus is to say, God, I no longer want to live the way I used to live. I want to be different. Calling on Jesus means he changes everything about us. He makes us less like us and more like him every single day. It's called sanctification. And this sanctification process is happening even now. And as we call on Jesus, what happens? He commissions us to be everyday missionaries. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. What are we saved from? We are saved from our sin and our shame. Everyone here, starting with me, we are sinners saved by grace. Amen. There is nobody perfect in this building, and I thank God for that. There was only one person who was perfect, and his name was Jesus. And because of what he has done, he saved us from our sin and has now empowered us to be everyday missionaries. Why? Because the gospel is for everybody. We are saved from our sin, but we are saved into a purpose. And that purpose is to be a witness to this world. It's to tell this world you don't have to live according to culture. There's another way. And that way is the way of Jesus. And we can live this new way. You know how? By taking up our cross, as the Bible instructs us, denying ourselves and our own desires, and following Jesus wherever he will lead us. And please, church, let's not ignore how scandalously simple this is. The Bible says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. Declare and believe. You know what the Bible doesn't say? Confess your favorite political ideology and be saved. The Bible does not say a certain ethnic group will be saved. The Bible does not say align with this philosophical idea and be saved. The Bible does not say that those with money, power, and respect will be saved. The Bible does not say that the good family with a good education, successful, and all the wisdom of the world will be saved. None of those things will save you. What will save you? Calling upon the name of the Lord. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is temporary. But when we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. This is what the world needs to hear. The world needs to hear this truth. And who do they need to hear it from? We can't fit the whole world in this sanctuary. They need to hear it in your supermarkets. They need to hear it at the coffee shop you frequent. They need to hear this message. If you're new to church, this is amazing news, isn't it? Hold on a second. I can be transformed. I don't have to live with this guilt and this shame. Man. But maybe you've been coming to church for decades, for years. And you're like, you know what, Pastor? That's a little too easy for me. Man, I just want to tell you, if that's your attitude, you may have the gospel wrong. It's for all those who believe and call upon his name. The Bible is for a person with a PhD and a person homeless on the street. The truth of the gospel is for the person with a PhD. The message of hope is for the person with a PhD and a person homeless on the street. The gospel is for the prostitute just as much as it's for the soccer mom. It's for those who are marginalized and for the leaders in our community. It's for the rich and the poor. It's for the blue collar and the white collar. It's for every language, every skin color, every community, every culture, and every corner. Jesus is for everybody. Everybody. And we must be a people that take hold of this message of hope and take hold of this purpose and this plan. Why is this so important? This may sound elementary to you if you've been going to church for a long time. And man, I wish you would have preached something else. But I know I've grown up in church, and you know I need to preach this message to myself every single day. That my job is to preach the gospel. Because you know who needs the gospel most? Danny Rivera. I need the gospel. And I preach this to myself so that I can preach it to others. And why is this so important for us this Sunday? Because for far too long, the church has been too quiet. And if you want to find out what's wrong with this world or wrong with our country, we can start with the word sin. And let me tell you, family, this world needs Jesus. And we are called to live out this gospel. Far too long, the church has been quiet. We have been to ourselves. I tell this to my church all the time. The church is not a country club for people who got it all together. The church is a hospital for the people who are sick. And we want anyone and everyone to walk in through these doors so that what? So that they can be healed by the love and the power of Jesus Christ. It's important because nowhere in Scripture does God send people to people who already believe. He doesn't send people to a bunch of Christians. He sends people to where they don't believe. Why? Because Jesus is for everyone. And as a church, we must welcome those people who don't believe. We must welcome those people who got big questions, who are unsure about their faith. We must welcome people who don't know who Paul is. That's their crazy uncle from down the block. We must welcome people who need to know about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is, the message of Jesus is for everybody, and your purpose is this. You are the light of a world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it out on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Island Christian Church, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. It does not say that the pastor is the light of the world. It does not say the ministry leaders are the light of the world. The people who work in full-time ministry are the light of the world. It says you, we, me. Who me? You. Who me? You. God is calling you to be light of the world. And it is time, family. It is time for the church to be the messengers of hope. Can you say amen to that? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Today and forever, it's all about him. The gospel is the message of hope. The gospel is for everybody, but it gets even better than that. Here's the beauty of this. God doesn't just save us from our sin, but he sends us out with purpose. And the application point today is this. Simply, the gospel makes us ambassadors. The gospel has made us ambassadors. And if we examine verses 15 and 14, and I'll just read the first part for the sake of time. Can they call on the one they have not believed in? We got work to do. We got people to reach. There are communities. There are family members in my family tree who need Jesus. I can't stay quiet any longer. I must preach that name of Jesus. Why? Because I am an ambassador of Christ. Not because I have the word title pastor in front of my name. Because I believe in the message of hope. And don't let a title or lack of title stop you from being the ambassador that God is calling you to be. And can I tell you this? That ambassador title is something that we wear in public. But can I tell you even more importantly, in private, when no one's watching, when you're alone with your thoughts, we are still called to represent Jesus in private moments, not switch up one way in church and one way at home. No, but to be ambassadors in every moment. So the question is this, what do we do with this truth? The truth of the gospel, the message of hope. What do we do with this truth? Go preach, shine, live, demonstrate, proclaim. If you don't speak up, who will miss out? If you don't share, what will happen to that person? If we're not sharing Jesus in our homes, what are we sharing? If we're not speaking to our families about Jesus, What are we talking about? If we're not inviting our neighbors to church, what are we inviting them to? Let me give you a story of my family tree. My grandfather, born in Puerto Rico. We are from this place in Puerto Rico called Humacao. It's on the southwest side of Puerto Rico. And he was born, had second grade education in the 1920s. Very, very extremely poor. At the age of 8, he was on his own, living on the streets. That's just what happened. It was just how it was. You know, it was just, you had to try to make it, you know. Many didn't survive. I know stories of my grandfather, two generations, not my mother's father, that he would dig on the floor to see whatever leftover potatoes that the farmers had left behind. Super dirt poor. And I'm not glamorizing it for sake of a testimony. I'm just telling you the truth. And so one day he grows up. He's homeless. He is an alcoholic living on the streets. And a missionary from New York, when Pentecostalism starts to hit Puerto Rico, a missionary from New York flies to Puerto Rico, preaches the gospel to my grandfather who is in the park, one-on-one. My grandfather believes Jesus. And on a second grade education, becomes a marvelous teacher of the gospel. And his grandson is preaching the gospel. Why? Because that one missionary said, yes, I am going to be an ambassador of Jesus. And he reached my grandfather. And I prayed that his great-grandchildren would preach the gospel as well, that my children would preach the gospel as well, not necessarily on an altar, but they would preach it with their lives, wherever God has called them to. Can you say amen? We are therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Family, they will not believe in Jesus because they have not heard about Jesus. Can I tell you this? You are the only Jesus people will see. And you may be the only Bible people will read. What is your life telling others about Jesus? I'll close with this story. There's a certain pizzeria. They haven't paid me, so I'm not going to say it out loud what they are, okay? I don't got my sponsorship deal yet with them. But there's a certain pizzeria I love. And I tell everybody about it. Victoria's laughing because I constantly talk about it, right? I love pizza, as you can tell. And so I just don't say it, right? So if you and I were ever to go out on a lunch meeting, just know I'm taking you to this place. Because I love them so much that I actually take action and do something about it. How much do we love Jesus? Are we willing to take action and tell people about Jesus? Or are we comfortable in our circles of religiosity? God is calling us to break out of those comfort zones, to believe and to act. How? With the message of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that this word to preach in Romans chapter 10, the original word in Greek is called kereso. And what that means is a living newspaper. Can you be a living newspaper for the gospel? Because I want you to know that is what God has called you to do. Why? Because I am unashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Family, we must be a church that's unashamed of the gospel. Not quiet. Not just stuck in our circles. But people who will boldly tell the barista at the coffee shop, hey, Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. Someone who would buy someone a lunch in front of them and just say, hey, just as this lunch is free, the message of the gospel is free. Salvation is free for you. Whatever it is, however it is, it can be. You don't have to stand on a pulpit to preach. You can be a living newspaper in every area of your life. I'm unashamed of the gospel. So dear church, family, and friends, I want you to be everyday missionaries. That's God's purpose for you. That God's call for you. Let the Lord use you. Let the Holy Spirit inspire you to give the right words at the right time for the right people. Would you close your eyes with me? And I want you to know that the message of the gospel is all about Jesus and the way that he brings freedom and transformation from sin. And if he can change a person like Danny Rivera, he can change anyone. Our testimony is that we were lost, but now we are found. Our testimony is that everything is all about Jesus. So we speak Jesus over our community, over our children, over our families. But the question of the day is this: what will you do with this truth? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You came visiting, you're trying out faith. Maybe you were in a church. It didn't work out too well. You're just kind of giving God a second chance. First of all, welcome. Thank you. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, today he wants to take away your shame and your guilt. He wants to forgive you of your past and transform you and give you new life. Only Jesus can do that. And if you want to believe in Jesus today, with every eye closed, I just want you to say, that's me. I need to trust in Jesus. I need this message of hope. I need this message of hope today. And maybe you've been coming for a long time. Or maybe you're here new to the church a couple of months. What will you do with this truth? What will you do? How will you go home and share this with your children? With your grandchildren? The message of the gospel is for everybody because it's the hope of the world. Let me pray for you today. Father, this is your church and these are your people, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, that you would transform, renew, and restore. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, that you will call out every person at the sound of my voice, those watching online, to be everyday missionaries everywhere they go. I pray, oh Lord, that they would be unashamed of the gospel, that they will go to every community, every culture, every corner, and just tell them of your love, your grace, your justice, your forgiveness, your redemption. I pray, oh Lord, that in this house, we would see many, many turn from sin and turn to you. Today, oh Lord, I ask you that you revive us, awaken us, and send us out to be bold and unashamed for who you are. Lord, send this church, send these people today to be everyday missionaries. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Island Christian Church podcast. We hope the insights and reflections shared here have sparked a desire in you to explore your faith more deeply. Remember, the journey through the scriptures is a path to understanding, not just the words of God, but his heart and his vision for your life. We encourage you to not just listen, but to actively engage and reflect on what God is speaking into your life through his word. If today's message has inspired you, we invite you to dive deeper and join us in person. Our church family gathers at 400 Elwood Road, East Northport, and we would love to welcome you. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 and 11, offering a time of fellowship, worship, and deeper learning. There are dynamic children's ministries during every service, and there is a free cafe too. Also, don't forget, our sermon library is always available at islandchristian.com. A resource for you to revisit today's sermon or explore others. Thank you again for tuning in. We're excited to see you next time, and perhaps even in person this Sunday. Until then, may your days be blessed and your faith journey enriched. See you soon.